the rest of the story. The charismatic stranger arrived in town under arrest, apprehended by a constable from a neighboring jurisdiction for too plainly expressing his views. "You will remain here pending trial," Constable Frank Broad informed the fellow as he was taken into custody, and as a matter of formality, the prisoner was asked his name. "You may call me," the gentleman said with great dignity, "you may call me O Homo. That is Latin for O Man." But it was not, as far as local authorities were concerned, a name, so they argued the point. The erudite captive and his captors argued until the latter acquiesced, and the mysterious prisoner would thenceforth be held accountable under the law as O Homo. The subsequent trial, which ought to have been no more than a court appearance and a perfunctory judgment, heralded what the town newspaper would call the sensation of the year. The center of attention, after all, was a 6-foot-tall, blue-eyed, imposing presence, remarkably handsome, richly tanned, powerfully built, with the bearing of a prince and the intellect of a scholar. It was that same publication, not surprisingly, which helped sustain the sensation beyond innocent plea and guilty verdict, and all through the consequent sentence of 30 days behind bars, for O Homo became a columnist of sorts. He was invited by the editor to occupy as much newspaper space as he pleased, quoting Diogenes in immaculate Greek, rambling on the subjects of honor and virtue and liberty and more. "The stars in the heavens were but trash," he proclaimed, compared to the smile of contentment on a woman's face. And as his fame increased, men honored him. Women from far and wide wrote to him, confiding adoration, even proposing marriage. Released from jail, O Homo tarried long enough to be photographed by the renowned Camillus S. Fly at his Fremont Street studio, and then he was on his way. But it's curious that even as the alluring stranger whose previous identity was never discovered, and whose fate to this day is debated, that even as he receded into obscurity, not one thus far of the myriad copies of Fly's photographs of him, not one, though they sold then for $1 apiece, not one has survived. There remains a crude contemporary sketch to help us envision him and to imagine that remarkable summer in 1891 when a self-styled sage turned rough-and-tumble Tombstone, Arizona upside down. An unlikely community remembered for colorful denizens like Doc Holliday and Johnny Ringo, to be enamored especially with the likes of O Homo, whose persona overwhelmed the sight of the notorious O.K. Corral gunfight, even though he was arrested in the first place for too plainly expressing his views, front, sides, and rear views. That's right. For the unquestionably brilliant, blue-eyed wanderer known then and always as O Homo came to Tombstone that July wearing a skull cap and leather sandals and a suntan and absolutely nothing more. That's right. O Homo was America's first streaker. The bare booty of Boot Hill. Only now you know the rest of the story.